Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here this morning. Thanks to the musicians, chanters, and singers for gorgeous music today. That was great all around. My name is Dambara Begley, and this is Helen Purcell. She's the director of our school and a new grandmother of three-month-old Charlie that she would be glad to talk with you about after service over in our refreshment center. So this ties together very nicely today, the theme of humility. It's very easy to be humble when you're up here trying to come up with something inspiring for you all to talk about, but we'll do our best. Ash and David are at Ananda Village this weekend with a convocation of the leaders of all of Ananda's colonies. It's the first time that folks have been able to gather together from Italy, India, Seattle, Portland, Ananda Village, Palo Alto, Sacramento, and Los Angeles, all at one time in a lot of years. So that there was Swami Kriyananda just having a great old time. And she'll have some stories when she gets back, I think. I'm Virgo's son in terms of, the astrology. And on the one extreme, it's been said that Virgos are people who take great pains and give them to others. But I hope I won't fall into that extreme. On the other hand, what happens with people who have that kind of mind is that interesting little facts that really don't make any difference are really fascinating. Like, I remember, it was always really interesting to me the first time I heard that a golf ball has 252 dimples on it. I don't know, that just seemed really interesting. Now, if you go home and count just to make sure, I'm going to tell you that's really six, so don't call me back. But another thing that's sort of interesting is the idea that, the size of the universe itself, astronomers say that it's 100 billion light years across, as far as we know. So just to see if we can get our minds around that, if you were to go as fast as the speed of light, if you were right now zooming along as fast as light travels, and you did that for one whole year, you'd still have a long way to go. It's unbelievably vast. So that's worth kind of getting our mind around, just how amazing God is in that sense. On the other hand, there's trivial facts like, what are the name of the seven dwarfs? Do you remember? Call it out. Samadhi. I'd like to meet that dwarf. That would make a good Disney movie. Okay, I like that. Or, a little more uplifting is, what are the 10 qualities of God, the 10 qualities of spirit that the Indian scriptures say?
Eight.
Eight? Okay. That was a test. Thank you, Ramurti. You passed it. What are those eight qualities? Okay, now this is kind of a cacophony, so I'll just repeat this for those of you that are new. The Indian scriptures say that God expresses in eight qualities that we can tune into in kind of a way that human beings can relate to inwardly. Divine sound, just like we heard today, although inwardly. Divine light. Divine joy. That's what Ananda means, is divine inner bliss. And energy or power, peace, calmness, which is a lot more dynamic, as Yogananda said, standing unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. And the other two?
Wisdom
and love, divine love. And just like that chant that Saranya sang, on the one hand it might sound a little kind of discouraging to hear, in this world, mother, no one can love me. In this world, no one knows how to love me. Where is their pure loving love? Where is their truly loving thee? There my soul longs to be. That is a traditional Bengali chant, and you can just picture that, the devotee longing for God, longing for the beloved, and wanting to be united, wanting to experience that highest reality, but just feeling that pain in the heart of still being a little distant. And that's what it takes for us as disciples to to feel that ultimate happiness. For a while, we can get involved in thinking that happiness lies in all those interesting facts that we're gathering, like Virgos can do. Or here in Silicon Valley, it can lie in thinking, okay, if I just get that perfect piece of technology. I've been sort of experimenting with delusion lately. Well, maybe for a lot longer than that, but in a specific way. Okay, I've seen some people with some really spiffy Amazon Kindles, you know, where you can just kind of download a book just like that, sort of read it, you know. But I'm still not really sure how that would compare with an iPad 2, you know. And like, I haven't gone to the Apple store yet to check it out, but in my mind, I'm sort of picturing how that would be. Now, I know an iPad 2 is a lot more expensive and heavier, and I really don't need it. And it costs a lot of money, and I just don't have that money. But I don't know, I can just watch my mind sort of, you know, creating this reality where it's really enticing. Do you know that feeling? So that's our particular delusion here, is to think that, okay, if I can just get it all together, just perfectly organized and technologically perfect, then. But maybe the reason that a lot of people are here is because we've had the opportunity to find that out and get it all together as perfectly as we know how to do it. But it just doesn't quite fulfill our hearts. And like St. Anthony said, Lord, you've made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. So there's always that something, that little something that calls us. What is that perfection? What is that ultimate fulfillment that we're seeking, that we've sought in so many ways outwardly? You know, and it's not wrong, all the outward stuff, to express humanity, express the ego, that's part of God's play. He's expressing through this infinite variety, just like all those billions and billions and billions of stars out there, all the different ways that God creatively expresses through each one of us. That's part of the reality. You know, that that's not to be denied. We need to relax into the way God is expressing through us and enjoy it. Yogananda said that the attitude of calm, acceptance, and joy is the right attitude for the devotee to have. Calm, acceptance, and joy. So anytime we get agitated, usually thinking about regrets of the past or longings for the future, wishing that we were some other way that we're not, or that other people were some other way that they're not, maybe that's a little easier sometimes to feel that. I've heard also a lot of quotes going around today, but one of the quotes that I like a lot is, it's impossible to judge and bless at the same time. I find that useful. That's another downside of Virgo Sun. So the fact, those qualities of God, the more we can tune into those and express those, the nature of bliss is to want to share itself. That movie that you saw that you really liked, what was the first thing you did? You wanted to tell people about it. So the more that we can let God express through us and share some of his divine bliss in blessing others, that word bliss and blessing are the same thing. The more we can tune into, God, what is it you want to express here? How do you want to act through me? Another favorite quote, a spiritual teacher from the 70s, Stephen Gaskin, really fun guy, kind of a hippie sort of looking guy, professor at San Francisco State, but just really down to earth and a lot of fun. But he said once that, words to this effect, you're God's eyes on the planet. If you have the thought that, you know, gee, something's wrong and somebody's not doing anything about this, you're the one seeing it, so you're it. You're who God's using to notice that thing and get something done about it. So think, God, what would you like to do here? You know, what's there around here that I can pitch in? Now, one way, as a staff member here, of course, I can be selfish and say, hey, we got a lot of things to do around here, you know, come talk to us. But really, in your own life, if you just have something in the back of your mind that says, sorry about that, backstage we're fixing our mics, and I was admiring Helen's, how perfectly designed it was, just, so the thought came, all right, will we be cursed somehow? So I had to knock my microphone off a little bit. That's my own karma. It's gone now. Okay. But if you have the thought inside, you know, that's just been sort of nagging, gee, it'd be really nice if, it'd be great if somebody, you know, maybe that's you. How could you contribute to that? How could you do something about that? It's easy to want to get our own little kind of scene together. But really, How can we truly express God? And meditation, you know, it all kind of comes down to that. Because just getting involved outwardly, yes, that's the way God designed this, that we just have so many fascinating things outside to do. But the trouble is that can get distracting. It can take us away from feeling God's joy and love and pleasure expressing through us. And we get kind of caught up in our own selves, a little too fascinated with our own story. The more we can take time to meditate, and that means remembrance of God, that means actual techniques as well that we do teach here. And taking twice a day, morning, night, to just let go of that limited identity of this personality and all of its story, to get quiet inside, to tune into the higher reality. It's that great story, the prodigal son, of coming from God, going out into the world, making kind of a hash of it, and then coming back home again. And that's our story. We're out kind of doing all kinds of fun things, but really our true home is in God. And we can get there daily by just making it a practice to consciously relax from all the outer identifications in our brain. And just, as Kriyananda refers to, relax upward into superconsciousness. Relax upward into our true identity. The reading today talks about how high do we aspire, and Jesus back in those times is saying to the folks that are listening to him, you know, you don't just want to have it together outwardly. And in those times, the people that kind of represented that were the Pharisees, and these guys have gotten kind of a bad rap over these thousands of years, haven't they? But, you know, in our own way, we've probably tried to do that too, just to kind of try to have it all together on the outside and think that that's going to do it for us, and we get caught up in that and forget God. Jesus is saying it's really within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And you have to take the time regularly to experience that inside, not to believe something outwardly, not to have any, you know, religion is great if it means something, if it translates internally to our own experience inside, and not if it's simply outward. So we have a great class series going on now, Wednesday nights, that began last week, but you can drop into it any of these Wednesdays. It's on the chakras. And the chakras are simply the way that God created us on an energy level. Behind the physical body that we have, there's an energy blueprint known as the chakras. And it's kind of interesting that where our minds are is kind of it's a gauge in our energy system where we're centered. What I mean by that is the higher our energy can rise up, the more we are identifying with God. The kind of lower it tends to sink, the more we're identified with worldly stuff, with getting involved, you know, outwardly. That may sound a little esoteric. But in a little while, what I'm going to do is translate that into an actual inner experience. No, let's not wait a little while. Let's do it now. I'm cheating here. I'll admit it. This is from Seattle. They have a course called the Raja Yoga 2 series, which is kind of an advanced version of the regular Raja Yoga course. We're going to do that here too. We've had so much fun doing our yearly Raja Yoga course that just ended. And at the end of that, people are typically saying, this has been so much fun, how can we do more of this? So we decided this year for the first time, September and October, to have an 8-class series that's going to go more in depth into these. But this is simply a meditation exercise that gives that inner experience of the chakras, and also talks about the 8 qualities of God along the way. Oh, that was the other thing. What are the stages of growth that Patanjali describes? I'm not going to ask you the answers because I'm going to tell you right here. So, if you will just, as Helen described earlier on, just sit up nice and straight, and relax, and close your eyes, and turn your attention inwardly. And we're going to start raising our consciousness from the bottom of our chakra system, first chakra, upward. And each of these chakras is identified with a stage along the spiritual growth path that all of us take, no matter what our beliefs or non-beliefs or where we are. This is just the way we're designed. Patanjali describes the first stage. Patanjali was a great spiritual master that talked about how devotees grow spiritually and become united with God. So the first stage is yama. And a way to experience this just in this meditation state is use an affirmation to state your intention when you sit to meditate. One example is, I am peace. I am peace. That's getting grounded in the lower chakra, the first chakra. And raising our energy up inside to the second chakra, the qualities of niyama, which are the right things to do on the spiritual path. Yama is the things to avoid doing. Niyama, use a visualization of yourself as being and having a body of light. Feel joy and light flowing all around you and within. The more we can identify with ourselves as those qualities of God rather than all those little personality quirks we have, the more we get to our true selves. And we're experiencing a sense of fluidity now, which is the second chakra quality. Raising it up now to the third chakra, which is behind the navel. And that's the quality that Patanjali describes of asana, firm posture, really strong, firm attitude. Fix your posture into the asana of meditation. Fix your gaze firmly at the point between the eyebrows. Feel the fire of enthusiasm for meditation and the desire of inner freedom burning cool and vital at the navel chakra. That's the fire center. Raise your consciousness up now. The center of gravity in the heart chakra. That's the quality of pranayama, of control of inner energy. Open the lotus flower of the heart upward to the spiritual eye and offer yourself, your past, subconscious desires, tendencies, ambitions, karma, everything upward in gratitude and for purification at the feet of the Lord of the Infinite, who is seated at the spiritual eye. Bring our consciousness up a little further now from the heart to qualities that are a lot more subtle. Throat chakra, pratyahara, the quality Patanjali expresses now of inwardness, inward focus. Calmly become omnipresent in every cell of your body. Feel space in the body and beyond the body. Rest in the expansive calmness of God's body, which is all space. Hold your mind's gaze steady at the spiritual eye. Feel your soul witnessing all thoughts, feelings, and objects. Raising it up further now into the higher qualities Patanjali describes. In meditation, we let go of our ego body identity and merge more and more into spirit. These are the final three stages. And actually, we'll get to that final dwarf that we talked about earlier too. Stay tuned. Dharana. See one or more of the eight aspects of the soul's true state appearing before your inner gaze. Peace, wisdom, dynamic vitality, love, calmness, pure consciousness, light, and bliss. Dhyana, now merge into and become one with one or more of these aspects. Let your entire capacity to perceive melt into one. Finally, samadhi. Now, go beyond all time and space into pure bliss. At first, all else disappears. Then, reemerge back into the body and see yourself performing ordinary duties while remaining in touch with this state of unbroken bliss. Okay, I'm going to ask you to come back into your bodies now and open your eyes back into this temple again. That journey describes how high we really want to aspire. We can talk about acquiring an iPad too, and that's a certain journey, but I don't know if it's going to bring that ultimate fulfillment. But the more we can just identify with God as infinite bliss, there's a poem on the back wall there, Samadhi, that Yogananda wrote, and it describes that inner journey in beautiful language, and the fact that he wrote it, as he said, while riding on the New York subway back and forth, indicates an example of what he was talking about, that we can feel that inner bliss even when performing our duties, as we're here to do. We're not here to just deny the world and hide away. You know, truly high spiritual souls can be in a cave all their life and just connect with God and radiate blessings out to the world. But where most of us are called to be right now is to express that into the world. The world needs that. The world needs to remember who's behind all this and how to experience that. And when people realize their oneness with God within, then the problems in the world get solved because there's not that conflict of personality against personality. The more we can realize God as the true reality behind it all, like that exercise led us in, the more we can express that joy in every moment and see every challenge that we have as an opportunity, a direct gift that God gave us. So this coming week, just as much as you can, raise the center of spiritual gravity upward, concentrate at the point between the eyebrows here, the forehead, like Yogananda recommended. By concentrating here, we kind of magnetically draw our awareness up through all those other states of awareness, and we can connect with God that way. As much as possible during the week, call on God and say, how would you like to express through me right now? How can I think of you more often? Where is there pure loving love? Where is there truly loving thee? How can I express your bliss? Blessings.